from KQED.
Good morning. This is the California Report, and I'm Saul Gonzalez. Although temperatures are starting to fall, it's been one of the hottest weeks of the year in Northern California. It must have been worse for the 50,000 or so people who lost power over the past couple of days. To reduce the risk of electrical equipment sparking a wildfire, PG&E shut down parts of the grid in the Sierra Foothills and Wine Country. The power's back on now for most customers. My California Report co-host Lily Jamali visited a cooling center in Oroville to see how people coped with the heat and the loss of power. So Lily, how did this play out for people with medical issues?
Saul, we don't have any reports of anyone being harmed during what PG&E calls public safety power shutoffs, but critics say it's just a matter of time, especially for the elderly. PG&E set up cooling centers in cities hit hardest by these power shutoffs, like this tent in a parking lot that I visited in Oroville. I met Dawn Heaton there. She has type 2 diabetes and was looking for relief from the heat.
When you're diabetic and if you eat something wrong, you have a tendency to kind of sweat all the time and get really hot, get hot cold flashes. Well, when you're sitting in a hot house, you have a tendency to be 10 times worse.
PG&E made a big show of the special treatment it gives to its medical baseline customers, people who get a discount on electricity because they use so much of it to power their medical equipment. They told me they sent personnel to these customers' homes if they couldn't reach them by phone. But Melissa Kasnitz, a lawyer with the Center for Accessible Technology, says that doesn't cut it.
Their list of medical baseline customers is a very narrow slice of the people who have medical needs with regard to electricity.
She points to diabetics who require insulin, which needs to be refrigerated. You can't do that without power. People in that group wouldn't be considered medical baseline customers under that criteria alone, and so there's no reason that PG&E would even know that those people, for example, might need extra help. Saul?
Thanks, Lily. That's my California Report co-host Lily Jamali reporting from Oroville. Since last November's campfire, water in the town of Paradise has been unsafe to drink. The town's irrigation district found a cancer-causing chemical in its service lines. Now, scientists are investigating contamination that goes all the way to the tap. KQED science reporter Molly Peterson has more from Paradise.
The few houses left here look like jack-o'-lantern teeth poking up between gaps of empty streets. But at every lot, burned or not, the skeleton of a water system remains.
Whoa, good eye. That is melted.
Dr. Gina Solomon is an environmental health investigator. She pokes at a water meter on a cul-de-sac where the Paradise Irrigation District found benzene. Then she drops the cover back on.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm afraid the plastic may have fused.
Solomon is leading a team from UC San Francisco and Oakland's Public Health Institute. It plans to test for benzene at the kitchen sinks of 175 homes in burned areas. Local officials have tested water mains and service lines, but there's little pattern to the contamination. Some homeowners aren't back yet, or haven't done their own testing, or don't know whether benzene has reached their taps. At a public meeting, Solomon said the team had two goals. One, to identify where the toxic chemical is.
We're also interested in any clues as to where that benzene might be coming from, because there are theories, but there's not really a clear, scientifically supported reason that we are quite confident of yet.
Solomon will begin testing next month and hopes to have some answers by Thanksgiving. For the California Report, I'm Molly Peterson in Paradise.
Later today, California Attorney General Javier Becerra will join Los Angeles City Attorney Mike Feuer to announce an anti-vaping public education campaign. This comes in the wake of California public health officials issuing a health advisory warning people to stop vaping. That advisory was prompted by recent vaping-related deaths in the U.S. and the hospitalization of hundreds of people. I wanted to hear from vapers themselves about their health worries, so I went to the boardwalk in Venice Beach and talked to a couple of them.
You a vapor?
Yeah.
What's the attraction? What's the draw?
Well, there's no headache to blow smoke in people's face. They don't really see it. Nobody's complaining about it. When you're blowing a cigarette in somebody's face, people get pissed off.
And despite the public health warnings recently, no plans on changing?
Public health warnings for everything. There's kids out there eating Tide Pods. There's other shit they need to worry about.
I have PTSD, so I sometimes vape indica cannabis oil that's like pretty much 99% oil, but I really don't like to go that route due to the due to where it's coming from with the source, because sometimes they don't really extract it properly. Sometimes they use butane.
You say you do it in moderation. Do you think you have friends who go overboard and are kind of, in a way, addicted to vaping?
Yeah, I have friends that smoke nothing but cannabis oils, or stop smoking cigarettes to smoke vape, nicotine and stuff like that.
Like all the time?
All the time.
That was Eric Jones and Arcisilo Rodriguez. The California Department of Public Health says there have been at least 98 potential cases of acute lung disease among people with a recent history of vaping. And there have been 2 reported deaths in California, one in Los Angeles County and one in Tulare County. UC San Diego's Dr. Laura Crotty-Alexander studies the effects of vaping on the lungs. She says hundreds of unknown chemicals could be in vape cartridges.
None of the chemicals they're including in their e-liquids have ever been tested for safety. They don't have animals inhale their chemicals that they're using to make sure that they're not toxic. They just put these chemicals in solution and sell them.
Physicians say a common denominator in the cases is vape carts with a mixture of nicotine and THC. But investigators are still tracking carts linked to illnesses and studying ingredients in vape oils. AB5. That's the new California law that could make it easier for hundreds of thousands of contract workers and freelancers in the state to become full-time employees. And for a while now, organized labor has been eyeing AB5 as a way to recruit lots of new union members, especially in the ride-hailing industry. KQED's Sonia Hudson has more from the streets of San Francisco.
At a June rally for AB5 in front of Uber's San Francisco headquarters, drivers got a very loud show of support from the Teamsters Union. The rally was held by Gig Workers Rising, a coalition of drivers and organizers based in Northern California that works with Teamsters but says it doesn't take any money from them. Doug Block, political director for the Teamsters in Northern California, was there.
We just want the drivers to be organized and have a voice right now.
Teamsters didn't make anyone available for an on-the-record interview for this story, and they won't directly answer whether they're interested in unionizing rideshare drivers. But the Transport Workers Union is happy to say they are trying to convince drivers to unionize with them by helping out Rideshare Drivers United, a driver-led coalition based in Los Angeles. The Transport Workers Union has given more than $100,000 to Rideshare Drivers United. John Samuelson is international president of the Transport Workers Union.
We have a ton of respect for what RDU, Rideshare Drivers United, has done. They've been organizing for 2 years. There's a very advanced rank-and-file organizing committee in place, and we certainly would like to see them in a more formal affiliation with the Transport Workers Union.
Samuelson says local chapters of the Transport Workers Union have a high level of autonomy and the muscle and resources of a national organization. It's one of the benefits the union advertises.
TWU Political Take Back contains coordinated strategic contract campaigns.
And the list of unions interested in making a match goes on. But Nicole Moore, a Lyft driver and organizer with Rideshare Drivers United, says her organization is a union, even though it doesn't have collective bargaining power.
We've been fighting for ensuring that we have an organization, our own union, that is for drivers, by drivers. And that's what we've been building with Rideshare Drivers United, right? I think the most important thing is that whether we're a local or a union, that we're run by rideshare drivers and that we're democratic.
But union leaders and drivers point out there's still a long way to go before unionization. And right now, they're focused on finishing the fight to make drivers employees with benefits. For the California Report, I'm Sonia Hudson.
And finally, let's end by celebrating some very smart Californians. The MacArthur Foundation has announced its 2019 fellows. The prize is known as the Genius Grant, honoring people for their groundbreaking work in a variety of fields. 3 people from California are in this year's group of 26 fellows. They are Sujatha Baliga, an Oakland attorney who works to prevent prison recidivism among people of color. Also from Oakland, Walter Hood, a landscape artist who creates ecologically sustainable urban spaces, and in Los Angeles, Kelly Little Hernandez, a UCLA professor who studies incarceration and immigrant detention practices in the U.S.
Support for the California Report comes from Energy Upgrade California, urging Californians to keep it golden by saving energy through simple acts like adjusting the thermostat a few degrees. EnergyUpgradeCalifornia.org. Hint Water. Hint is water infused with fruit essences, including watermelon and blackberry. No sugar, no sweeteners, no calories. Available in grocery stores. Hint, mouth-watering water. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose Fund for Strategic Innovation supports transformative ideas that benefit humanity while protecting the natural world, recognizing through science the interdependence of all living systems.
And that's today's California Report, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Saul Gonzalez. Thanks for listening.